Praise the Lord.
Is that the song that you wrote, Jackie? That's a great song. Praise the Lord. And Jackie wrote that several years ago. I know Don sang that once. And how long ago did you write that? That was just last year. Okay, very good. And praise the Lord for during this, what has become a series here, I guess it seems like, one message turning into a series again. But all about rejoicing, and we ought to rejoice. God has to, isn't it sad that God has to tell us, rejoice in the Lord always? He had to tell us several times in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. He had to tell us in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. And, you know, it's because it isn't something we naturally do, and it's sad. Uh-oh, we're starting over again. Do I have to re-preach all this thing again? Tough day, huh? Didn't get your nap? That explains it. I knew it. But anyway, we're in Deuteronomy 16 again. I just want to read these verses again. I think it's exciting. You think about these feasts. And again, another illustration of God having to tell his people. It just seems like it ought to be natural. But what's natural is our flesh, right? I mean, it's natural to lie. It's natural to think wrong thoughts. It's natural to steal. It's natural. Those are the things that are natural, but to do right, that's not natural. Sad. But as we grow in the Lord, it should become more and more natural to do right, and I hope it does. But God had to tell his people in the Old Testament, he told them, the Jews, they had to have three feasts, three great feasts, the Bible talks about. They had other feasts, but there were three great feasts, the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, or otherwise known as the Feast of Weeks, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And in those feasts, we've been talking about how Deuteronomy 16, it talks about the Feast of Weeks. And there were three things that are mentioned. Number one, there is to remember. The feast was always about something they were to remember. They were to think about those things. In verse 12, it says, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And they were to remember something. By the way, if you remember you were a bondman in Egypt, certainly you would automatically remember that you aren't anymore. Amen. I mean, if you were lost, you ought to remember that you're not lost. Amen. It's sad we have to kind of think back to when we were lost so that we remember that we're not lost. Amen. It's sad that we have to think back to when we were a child of the devil so that we can remember that we're a child of God. But that's what they had to do, and that's what we have to do. And so they had a feast, and they would remember, and then they were to respond. And the response here in verse 10 was that thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand. And so there'd be offerings, sacrifices. The Bible talks about our sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise. I think it's interesting. It's called a sacrifice, a whole other message. But isn't it amazing that it is a sacrifice that we praise God? Again, one of those things that you say, well, I don't know why it'd be called a sacrifice. Well, the thought ought to come to mind that you don't do it enough. So maybe that's why it's a sentence. In other words, instead of griping, praise. Instead of complaining, praising. Instead of gossiping, praise the Lord. Amen. Instead of whining, praise God. Instead of going, oh, I'm nervous about the upcoming election, praise the Lord about the upcoming election. Hey, we get to vote. Amen. I mean, we still get to vote. I know some of you haven't in years, but by the way, if you don't, you have no right to say anything. Nothing. Just go. I'm not going to say a word, all right? Anyway, this isn't the message. This is why I don't get through the message. Okay, you lead me on like this. See, you're leading me on right now. And so we remember, then we respond, and then he says in verse 11, thou shalt rejoice. And so they would remember, and they would respond by offering sacrifices or doing something because they've remembered what all God's done. And then they just rejoice and just praise the Lord over what he has done. Now, again, God had to tell them to rejoice, but God has to tell us to rejoice too. And the whole proof of that is right here tonight, because some of you are still sitting there like a bump on a log. You know, instead of at least smiling, God, I'll offer you the sacrifice of a smile. Some of your face would crack if you smiled too much. Honestly, it's scary. But anyway, so we've been talking about this. And, well, we haven't, but I have. And I want to continue. I'm not telling you how many points I have, but it's funny. I brought this message last Sunday morning and honestly thought that I'd preach it Sunday morning. It's really funny as I look back now how I was really fooling myself. But several things we're rejoicing about. By the way, this is all in light of Brother Nixon's message on I'm miserable. And he preached a great message, stood up here and said, I'm miserable, and then described miserable people. And boy, it stirred up a hornet's nest. I'm telling you, it really did. Folks, you know, miserable people were more miserable. But you don't have to be. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, because I'm rejoicing. Amen? I'm rejoicing. I am really rejoicing. And here's why. I'm not going to sing the song, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. I'm not going to sing, He Fills My Heart With Laughter, ha, 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 ha. Boy, you ought to get excited. And you say, why aren't you going to sing it? Because I want to get through some of these points. Number one, I'm rejoicing because of perfect salvation. You can stop right there and just shout. All right. I'm rejoicing, number two, because of a permanent salvation. That's good stuff too, amen. And because of my, number three, because of my pardon. Amen. I'm never going to be guilty for my sin. Wow, you ought to rejoice over that. I'm rejoicing because of number four, his promises. Amen. And his word is a promise to us. Every part of it is a promise to you and I. God's promises. The Bible says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know, you'd be so excited if you went out and found a treasure chest full of money. Woohoo! You'd be excited. And yet we have God's word, his promises, and we don't even open it except on Sunday. Yeah. You say, you already preached on that. I know, but it's good. Then number five, I'm rejoicing because of my position. I'm a son, I'm his servant, and as a pastor, I'm a shepherd, and I'm rejoicing over all that. That's all good stuff. I'm rejoicing because of his portion for me. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Amen. I mean, we cannot go wrong with the portion. Do you know that he is your Abba, your Father? I mean, there's so much that God has for us. The Bible says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, all that's his is yours. All that's his is mine. Glory to God. I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm rejoicing because of his portion. I'm rejoicing because of his presence. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. And I'm rejoicing because of his protection. I'm rejoicing because of his provision. I'm rejoicing because of his power. Hey, are you rejoicing tonight? I'm just saying, the Bible said in this feast, they were to rejoice, or they were to give unto the Lord according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. I look at some faces, I look at some reactions, I listen to some words, and I think, you know, how sad God hadn't blessed that poor, 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 poor Christian. How brokenhearted I am for you that God just hasn't blessed you. There I go again. Huh? Oh, you poor thing, you poor Christian. God hasn't blessed you. You're in a communist country. Oh, no, we're not. No, that's right. I mean, it's getting there, but it's not. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, you don't have a Bible? Oh, you get five or six of them, right? You don't have good health, yet you're alive. Yeah. Anyway, this is what happens, okay? I don't even know where I am now. Oh, well, we'll start over. But, you know, God provides, and he gives us power, and I'm rejoicing because, number 11, because of his people. I love God's people. Don't you love God's people? Oh, I know, you know, you say, yeah, but there sure are a lot of sinners. Yeah, we all are. Amen. If you go into it knowing that, you don't expect a whole lot. Amen. Somebody says, have you ever been disgruntled? I've never been gruntled. You'll have to think about that. To be disgruntled, never mind. All right. Anyway, but his people, amen. I'm rejoicing because of my potential. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Potential, amen. I'm rejoicing because of my production, the work that I'm able to do for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, amen. And we can rejoice over that. The Bible says that I'm rejoicing because of the product that is the result of what we do, and the product of parents, and rejoicing over their children. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Amen. Some of you ought to praise God for your kids tonight. You really ought to. Instead of being threatened by how spiritual they're becoming, you ought to be excited. You ought to be thrilled. Oh, my child is excited. I mean, just because they walk out when you're watching wicked stuff. Most of the time we're having fun, but tonight I had to throw that in. And anyway, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Those that you win to Christ, new converts, you can rejoice over their lives, and so on and so forth. The product. And then I'm rejoicing over positive things because I don't listen to negative things. Amen. And I'm rejoicing, number 16, over problems. And the Bible says, and the best example, Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18, fig tree shall not blossom, fruit won't be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Sounds bad, doesn't it? And he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And you say, well, I have problems, but you can handle the problems. That's why you rejoice. Glory to God. And we talked about that this morning, and we're not going to talk about it again tonight. And then the next thing you rejoice over is, I have no idea. I'm totally lost in my notes, but that's all right. We rejoice over preparation. His preparation for us, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Woohoo! You ought to get excited about that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that. Ye are able. Ye are able. He'll prepare you. You'll never face anything you're not prepared to face. Amen. You can handle it. And then I'm rejoicing over prophecy, and we got into that, and I can't get into that again because that's all shouting stuff. It really is. All the things people are woe is me-ing about, I'm saying hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Amen. Really, honestly, I mean, it's an exciting day that we live in. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Oh, I know, we're asleep. We don't, you know, we just don't get it. But I'm telling you, folks, he's coming again. He said he's coming again. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe 100 years from now, but I'm having fun. I'm telling you, it's exciting days that we live in. And then I talked about how I'm rejoicing because of patience. And we talked about be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Just wait, just wait, just wait. I'm so rejoicing tonight because of waiting on the Lord. And just being patient, because he has stuff for us we cannot imagine. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. And tonight we move on to number 20. And this one we are not going to believe, but I'm rejoicing tonight because of persecution. What? I knew somebody was going to say, what? I'm glad you're here. That was perfect timing. It really was. Persecution. Oh, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be amazed. You are going to be in awe. Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Oh, they hurt my feelings so bad. God says rejoice. God says blessed are ye, happy are ye when these things happen. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That says exceeding glad. I mean, he doesn't say go out and look for persecution. He just says do right. It'll find you. It will find you. I guarantee that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Again, we're not looking for, you shouldn't look for it. You can, I mean, don't go slap people upside the head and then they attack you. Just do right. There will be persecution. Oh, you'll find your name on Facebook more than me. Acts 5, verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. You thought they always rolled out the red carpet, didn't you? You always thought that they just loved the apostles. Oh, it's an apostle. We need to have him come on in, and we'll feed him some food and take up a love offering or two for him. Amen. When they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How'd they leave? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. They make fun of me at school. Poor baby. Amen. You know, rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, they make fun of me at work. Well, rejoice. Praise God. Amen. Oh, my neighbors are always making fun of me. There goes the church people going to church. That's what you're doing, isn't it? Rejoice. Praise God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When was that? That was at midnight in jail after they'd been beaten and their backs were caked over with dried blood and pus from being beaten. And what were they doing? Whining? Griping? Complaining? No. Had they done anything wrong? No. Just did what God told them to do. What were they doing? Singing praise. Amen. Persecution is rejoicing grounds that you're counted worthy to suffer for his name. Rejoice. I'm rejoicing tonight because of persecution. You say, we'll show him. We'll say bad things about him. You'll show me how to just praise God that much more. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to show that Christian, that kid in our school, I'm going to show them, I'm going to make fun of them, I'm going to mock them, I'm going to make them miserable because I'm laughing about what they're doing for God and everything else. Go ahead, and they can just rejoice. Yeah, go ahead, tease them, give them a hard time. Why are you rejoicing, preacher? Well, because I remember, that's why. I'm rejoicing tonight because I'm doing what God said to do, and according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, I'm rejoicing. I'm just coming up with all the things that you ought to be thinking of yourself. Amen. I mean, a lot of these grounds are pity party ground for a lot of Christians. And God says, no, 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 no. They're not pity party ground. They're rejoicing ground. They're praising ground. They're hallelujah ground. They're getting excited for God ground, that you could be persecuted for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Now, again, don't go looking for it. It'll find you. Just do right. Number 21 is prayer. I'm rejoicing because of prayer. Psalm 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. That's what I'm doing when I pray. I'm just seeking God. He said, let your heart rejoice when you seek the Lord. Amen. That's good. John 16 and verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. I mean, honestly, folks, when is the last time you asked God? You say, I'm miserable. I'm absolutely miserable. Okay, when's the last time you just got alone with God and started asking? Ask, ask, ask. I want to read this again. John 16, 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, by the way, he did not say there, I will give you that thing. He did say your joy would be full. He did say you'd get your cup full of joy. He did say you could rejoice then. I don't know what all is going to be in that asking. I just know this. He said, hitherto have you not. You've asked nothing. And so you walk around, God's not doing anything. God's not going to do anything. God's not answering prayer today. God's not blessing. God's not paying attention to me. God, when's the last time you got alone with God and asked? Amen. Because that's what it says. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Why do we text somebody before we text God? Why do we let everybody know in our circle or our connection or our whatever that thing's called, you know, about our need before we get alone before God on our face and say, oh, God, I need this. Why do you go to the bank before you go to God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Huh? I mean, again, we're in rejoicing ground. We're talking about, I'll be honest with you, you know, when the bank does it, that's okay. But when God does it, it's usually a whole lot better and no interest. Amen. Yeah, it goes on and it says, and the peace of God. That's a nice thing, isn't it? By the way, that starts with the letter P too. That's later on in the outline. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When? Well, that's when I go to him in prayer and supplication. Ye have not because ye ask not. And I'm going to tell you something. You're missing out on a lot of joy. We were in our men's prayer time. We had 14 guys tonight. And that's a down night because a lot of people are gone. But 14 fellows tonight. And we had some testimonies, and they were fun. They were exciting. A lot of answers to prayer. It's fun when somebody gives a request, and then we all write it down, and we pray. We take some time out, and we pray for that request, and then we think about it throughout the week and pray about it throughout the week. And it's always exciting when somebody finally says, "Hey, God answered my prayer." Daryl gave a testimony. Well, we've been praying for Daryl. I don't know how long we've been praying for Daryl. And Daryl tonight, he gave a testimony. Can I say that? Thank you. I'm going to. But anyway, he gave a testimony tonight how God answered that prayer in an amazing way. And only that's how God does things. And it's a whole lot more fun than if Daryl would have said, "I worked this out." We'd all said, "Who cares?" But he said, "God did this for me." And we know God did it for him. We've been praying for him. Wow, that's exciting. You know, another person came in and saw me. I don't want to embarrass him like I do Daryl. But came in and saw me this week and told me about an answer to prayer and a blessing. And another person. Hey, if you pray for people, you'll see things happen. If you pray for you, you can see things happen. And the best thing is, God said your joy may be full, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you're weak tonight because you have no joy, and you may have no joy tonight because you don't pray. We just don't pray. How do we not talk to our God? Amen. Look, prayer. I'm rejoicing tonight because I can pray. 2 o'clock in the morning, I pray. 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever God wakes me up, I'll talk to him. Talk to him this morning. I remember Janie's paper. I don't remember when it was, sometime. And just started talking to the Lord about that paper. And you say, "What's so important about a paper?" Because Janie's the kind of person, when she gets that answer, she'll tell the whole world, and my heart's going to be excited, and I'm going to rejoice about it. It's a paper. I don't know what the paper's about. She just said, "Pray about the paper." Amen. You say, "I want to know all the details." Fooey on details. Praise God for the answers. You don't have to know the details. You just have to see the person's face light up when they say, "God did it." But you're not involved. And you say, "I bet they finagled something. I bet they worked something out themselves." Where's your God? That's why you don't have joy. I have a God. And I'm rejoicing tonight because he answers prayer. Amen. Number 22, I'm rejoicing tonight because of his process. His process. Listen to me. Psalm 85 and verse 6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, and that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Oh, his process is always good. Because if you're not on rejoicing ground, he can get you back there. Amen. Amen. You know, the prodigal son, he left rejoicing ground, and he went into griping ground. He went into miserable ground. Oh, I know he had a smile on his face and a roll of money in his wallet. I know he had the credit cards, and he had his daddy's inheritance that was going to him. And I know he thought he was going to have the time of his life, but he was a miserable man. He was miserable as he was in the bar spending his money. He was miserable as he was spending his money on wild women. He was miserable as he was living it up and maybe gambling and all that he was doing. And he was miserable all that time. But he was laughing. But he was miserable. Amen. And the height of his misery is when the money ran out and all the people were gone. By the way, if you have to buy your friends, you're going to be miserable. Because you really have no friends. Amen. You don't have any. Hey, look, if they're your friends because of your money, if they're your friends because you're popular, you really don't have any friends. And you're miserable. And you are alone. And that's what that old boy was. He wasn't alone because he had pigs all around him. Yeah, boy, he was miserable. So hungry that he'd reach down into pig slop and grab whatever piece of corn might be left and eat it with whatever was on it. You know, that's miserable. God has a way, doesn't he? I'm just calling it a process. You say, "Why do you call it a process?" It starts with the letter P. Come on, that's pretty easy. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know, some of you that doubt your salvation, praise God, we have a permanent salvation. And what you need to do is understand, you don't have to get re-saved over and over again, but you damn sure better get right with God so you have the joy of salvation. You'll feel like you're lost. The joy of thy salvation, it's just walking with God. It's just knowing I'm saved. It's just knowing my sins are under the blood. It's knowing they're gone. It's knowing I'll never answer for them. It's knowing that I've got a fellowship with God. It's knowing he stands outside the door and he says, I knock at the door. He said, if you'll just open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and I'll walk with you and I'll talk with you and I'll love you. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. Amen. His process, it always works, folks. It really does. It's praise God for it. I'm rejoicing tonight because he wants me to rejoice. And he'll put me wherever he needs to put me to get me in rejoicing territory. And if that means if that means he has to get out the old red paddle and he has to beat the fire out of me. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. I'm rejoicing tonight. You ever been spanked by God? You ought to rejoice. You ought to praise God. I praise God now that my dad used to spank me. I didn't praise God then, but I am now. And I praise God for every whooping God's given me too. I praise God when he gives me the chance, and he gives me the opportunity, it convicts my heart first. I've learned, folks, it doesn't take a whole long time for you to learn that when God says do this, you better do it. Because if you don't, he'll get the paddle out. I remember Dad used to say, son, I remember one time Dad was after me about something. I have no idea what came across me, but I was holding an Indian spear. It was just a little wooden Indian spear, stick kind of a thing, and we were playing cowboys and Indians or something, and Dad said, son, get in here. I said, not now, Dad, I'm playing. That never was a good idea. And so Dad came out, and he said, I told you, get in here. For whatever reason, the devil got in me and possessed me, and I said, and I took that stick and I threw it at my dad. That was, I'm sorry. That was dumb. But you say, preacher, how dumb is that? How dumb are we when God convicts us and we won't go to an altar? Instead, we'll wait until we get in the car wreck. Instead, we'll wait until the doctor says you're sick. Instead, we'll wait till we have some financial difficulty. The washer breaks. Whatever, right? Instead, we'll let him chasten us instead of just when he calls, son, get right. Not now. Yeah. Boy, that's never a good idea. Not a good idea. That process, I'm rejoicing over that tonight because he loves me. He's my father. He loves me. He cares about me. He wants me on the right path, and he wants me to rejoice, and he'll bring me back to the place I need to be. David said in Psalm 51:8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Listen, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Yeah, chastening. Praise God for chastening. But how foolish we are to make God chasten us. Yeah. But thank God for his process. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What's that? That's after the captivity. After the punishment for their sin. And joy will come in the morning. But you know, the best thing in the world is when God speaks to our heart. Obviously, the best thing in the world is draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee. The best thing is just do right, do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. That's the best thing. But then we do wrong. And God speaks and says, okay, get right. And the best thing would be get right. We say, well, no, I'm going to go ahead and do my own thing and do what I want to do, and then God has to get out the paddle. Praise God for it, though. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm rejoicing tonight because of his process, and I'm rejoicing tonight because of my progress. Isaiah 12:3, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That is so good. with joy, I just get everything I can out of the salvation God's given. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. You know, add to. What am I doing? I'm dipping into the well of salvation, and I'm with joy. I'm getting that water out. I'm drawing everything I can out of the salvation. It is so deep, you won't exhaust it. You just keep dipping in to that salvation. I just call that progress because it starts with the letter P. Amen. But it's progress in our life as we grow in the Lord and we add to. And salvation's better and better and better and better for us. And it's just like your cell phone. And you get these, if you have one of these kind of phones that has the little square doohickeys things in them. And whatever those are. And the little app things. And you add an app and it helps you do this. And you add a map app and it helps you map things out. And you add a calendar app, and you add the weather app, and all these different things, and you can do that. And then you have what every spiritual person should have, and that is an ESPN app. And you check your scores, which I didn't just now do. But you have all these apps, and you add these things, and you say, "Woo, this is really kind of a nice thing." And God says, "Oh, you'll do that with your dumb phone. I guess it's a smartphone. But you won't do it with the salvation. I got a well for you here. Dip down in and just start taking it all out, and you'll have joy like you can't even imagine the joy that you could have." And we say, "I'm just not being fulfilled." You know, I have to wonder if you're even saved. If you're not being fulfilled, it's your own fault. Because the water's deep. With joy shall you draw. You know, the more I learn about God, the more I grow, the more every altar call, every decision I make as I'm reading my Bible, I talk to God about what I'm reading, and I learn something, and you know, the better it gets. And it doesn't, I can't hardly imagine it could get any better, but it does. It just keeps getting better. Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with sadness." It's not what he said. He said that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received, the ministry you receive, of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, to finish that course. It's your progress. Now, I'll be honest with you. At the starting line, it was pretty exciting as a new Christian. I remember being excited about the things of God. I remember being shocked that God would use me. I remember thinking that, it's amazing that somebody like me could ever be even paint the swing set at the church. You know, I was shocked about all those things, and that was an exciting thing. But I'm serious. I had no clue how good it really can be. I had no idea. If I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have probably shouted and got so excited I'd have burst. I couldn't have handled it. Now, you've just become too dignified to even recognize it. I'm rejoicing tonight because of number 24, purity. This is a good verse. Psalm 32, verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Isn't that good? Amen. That is so good. You say, "Well, I was on the internet today, and I can't really get excited about that verse." You know why? I don't know why. You must know why. I don't know why. "Well, I was up late last night, and I was watching." Oh, yeah. I don't know why, but you must know why. I'm just saying tonight, I'm rejoicing. You know why? Because I do right. I'm rejoicing. If the police can come to my house and knock on the door, I'm not worried. I even got my handgun registered. Amen? Amen. I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was. And now I found it, and it's registered, and I feel so good about that. I'm legal. I'm legal. Just in case they're listening. You know how it is. You're driving, and this happens all the time. I'm driving down the road, down the highway, and my wife, she'll say, "Honey, there's a policeman in the middle of the road there." And I say, "Okay." You go, "Ah!" You think they notice that? I mean, really, do you think they see? Right? And it always is. I say, "Okay." She said, "Well, I didn't know." I said, "You ought to know. It's okay." Now, I tell her when they're... No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? If you do right, you have a lot to rejoice about. I mean, when you're just doing right, you just have a lot to rejoice about. You don't have to worry about coming to church. You don't have to worry about what the message is on. Oh, I hope he avoids that subject. You know? I mean, I remember being the long-haired hippie with the long hair. Well, she was a long-haired hippie wife. But with the long-haired hippie with the short-skirted wife. And we sat in sweat when we came to church. Oh, I hope he doesn't. And he always preached on that. It was always on long hair and short skirts. Always. Every message was that. Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek. Choir sang about long-haired hippies and short-skirted wives. Always. Every service was about that. You say, "Preacher, he didn't really do that." Well, that's what I felt. Because I sat there. And she tugged and I tucked. Honestly, every service. Tug, tuck. Tug, tuck. I mean, it was just like that. I'd look over at her tugging, she'd look over at me tucking. And it's like, just do right. Why don't you just do right? And I would tell her that. And she'd tell me that. Boy, isn't it great to come to church after a Saturday night, you didn't get drunk. You know, you didn't go out carousing around. You didn't watch anything wicked. You weren't on the internet. You didn't Facebook and gossip about the preacher and everybody else. And you just did right. You were sick. And you just did right. And you come into church. All of a sudden, the songs are different. Choir sounds good. Amen. Everything's just different. Nothing to gripe. Because why? Because I'm sitting here tonight. God, I'm right with you. I don't have to worry about the invitation. I don't have to worry about my heart racing during the invitation. Amen? I don't have to tug, and I don't have to tuck. I just can be right. It's good, isn't it? Oh, and when you're not robbing God, isn't that great? When you caught up your tithes, you say, "Caught up." We'll not get into that now, but... You say, "I didn't know anything about this caught up business." Well, Robin is Robin. And I'm not talking about Batman's partner. Amen? This is why. See, I get stuck on these things. Brother Cox, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Exactly. I know you do. And, you know, hey, folks, listen to me. When everything is right between you and God, church is a whole different world. I mean, soul winning's a different world. You ever been soul winning? You're standing on somebody's their little step there, and you get ready to knock on the door, and God reminds you of that sin that you just committed. You never have? Yeah, Brother Chase has. I know he has. And just before you knock, it's like, oh, oh, now I feel really stupid. Yeah, and the devil just pushes. Isn't it great to be able to stand there and again, you're not perfect, but to be right with God? Clean. Yeah. Boy, it's a great, reminds me of a great illustration. You ever get ready to knock on somebody's door and you remember that you just had broccoli and you wonder if there's broccoli between your teeth? So you say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Rogers. How you doing? I'm glad to, you know." Clean. That's good, fellas. Thank you for helping me on that. Purity. Purity is something to rejoice. You know, and that's exactly what it says. All ye that are upright in heart. It says, shout for joy. Rejoice, ye righteous. You know, we get so used to the world pushing us down. You know, we ought to rejoice that we do right. It ought to be more popular to do right than it is to do wrong. It ought to be more popular, certainly in church, but it's amazing how sometimes it's not. And the righteous should be the ones, praise God. Yeah, that's why I wonder why more people don't sing, why more people don't rejoice when they sing, why you don't think about the words. Amen. It's good stuff. Let me give you one more. And it is. I'm rejoicing tonight. By the way, are you rejoicing tonight? I've given you 24 reasons already. Covered them several times. Number 25, I'm rejoicing tonight because I have a purpose. Amen. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. An eternal purpose. I mean, when you understand, before the foundation of this world was ever laid, Jesus hung on a cross. Who for? For me, for you, because he has a purpose. Eternal purpose. Wow. Now I added this verse to that because it's so applicable. Psalm 118, verse 24. And boy, we ought to think about this verse. And we ought to get excited about this verse. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Wait a minute, what's it say? We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Boy, that's good stuff. If we just practice it, tomorrow morning when you get up, could you maybe sing that? Well, preacher, I can't sing. Well, then who cares? The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We have several folks make joyful noise all the time. It's just noise, but it's joyful. Amen. Wait a minute, who made the day? It's raining. Who made it? Yeah. It's snowing. Who made it? Yeah. How would we know, Kayla? They're stained glass windows. Anyway, hey, who made the day? God made the day. Sometime this week, sometime soon, I've got to get a driver's license. And it's been, I don't know how many years. And, you know, who made that day? Well, God made the day. I'm going to have to go in and find out, you know, all the good news and the bad news. And praise God for the day. One of these days this month, pretty soon, I'm going to have to go see the doctor. Amen. Oh, we love seeing the doctor. Some of the things I know he's going to say, some of the things I know he's going to do. This is the day. This is the day. When you turn 50, you'll understand. And praise God, though. Amen. Some of the things, oh, listen, he's got all kinds of plans for me. And I go to the doctor, you know, and he's got all these things in his mind. And all these things on a little chart says when you reach such and such age. And he'll look at me and he'll say, have you had? And I'll say, it's been so recent, very recent. He goes, well, the records say, and I'll say, it was recent enough, believe me. Oh, no, it looks like. And I say, no, it's fine. And he'll say, I'm the doctor. And I'll say, okay, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. Amen. Some of you, honestly, I don't understand who made your day. You'd almost think the devil made your day because it's like, oh, what a terrible day. It's a day the Lord, by the way, every day. Do you know every day you get up, you're still alive? You're thinking about that, aren't you? That's true, isn't it? You check it out. Mark it on your calendar. Put a big X. And the day there's not an X there, you're not alive. Amen. Folks, honestly, there's a purpose that you're still here. Have you ever thought about that? Oh, that time we you know, we're laying underneath that modular and that thing came off the jack and fell down. I honestly knew I was gonna die. In fact, sometimes I wonder if I'm not dead and this is and somehow I blew it. No. But You know, honestly, I mean, there we are. We're under that thing, and it's 20 tons, and boom! And honestly, I thought it was over. But God had a purpose. Do you know how many times you almost died? How many times? You don't even know all the times. Yeah. You know why? It's because God has a purpose. The psalmist said this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Why? Because I recognize God has a will. He has a purpose for me. We preach it over and over and over in chapel. I mean, the kids hear it over and over and over. Sometimes, you know, it's like they're, you know, but God has a will. He has a purpose for your life. Praise God and rejoice. And every day is a day that God has for you so that you can do what he wants you to do on that day, his purpose. Just the idea that he has a purpose. Isn't that exciting to you? I'm rejoicing today. Are you rejoicing tonight? Can you rejoice? Can you rejoice with me? Can you, without having to be told, okay, do this. Remember? Okay, I've named a whole bunch of things. You remember any of those in your life? I've gone through 25 things so far. 25 things. Can you remember any of them in your life? They may not all apply to you, but they probably do. Can you remember any of them? What's God done? Rejoice. My prayer as I started this thing was that we'd walk out rejoicing. We'd leave rejoicing. And it'd carry on all week long because we're going to remember, we're going to respond, we're going to rejoice. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Is there anyone here tonight who's never been saved? You'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. I am not sure that I'm saved. Is there anyone like that? Say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart as a Christian tonight. I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. But God's speaking to my heart about a decision I need to make tonight. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up all over. God's speaking to your heart as a Christian. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless our invitation. Have your will in our lives. Help us to leave this place rejoicing, genuine from our hearts, because we remember all these wonderful things you've done for us. May we rejoice. You're such a great and wonderful God. Please bless the invitation now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.